Hey, happy Friday. Yes. My name is Kate, and for those of you who are new with us this semester, I am one of the chaplains here on our campus ministries staff, and I would love to get to know you. So shoot me an email, and I'd love to hang out. If you were here on, Wednesday, right? Yes, today's Friday. Wednesday was our first day of chapel. You heard Trigg talk about how this semester we're going to be talking about the school of prayer and how for us, our textbook in a lot of ways for the school of prayer is going to be the book of Psalms, which has been the prayer book for God's people for thousands of years. So it would be wise for us to learn from this same prayer book. Any good scholar knows that it's good to have a good textbook. Now, any good scholar also knows that it's important to take notes, and it's important to try to practice what you're learning. As we've been thinking about going into the Psalms, I did an exercise over Christmas break where I got out all my old prayer journals, and I started looking through them, and they're all here in this box. And let me tell you, the first one I found was one that dates back to my early years of high school. Now, for you here, college students, early years of high school doesn't like seem that long ago, but let me like put it in perspective. It'd be like you coming across a journal from your early elementary days. That's even gracious. It's probably like if you were like three or four and were journaling. So keep that in mind. And this first journal, and truth be told, I know that there was a journal prior to this, but I know I destroyed it because I so wish I had it now, but at some point I was like, oh, what if anybody finds this and finds out who I liked in fifth grade or whatever, like they'd really care, right? So as I was reading through this, you know, things change, and I got, you know, one thing that changes is my style and journal choices changed. You know, I went bare minimum for a while, like took the green, just the spiral. The spiral was big for many years, apparently. And in college, Old Navy came to town, so got one of those, loved it. Also, I wanted to, well, I'll save that, that's for later. Like strawberries, I went into like kind of the natural look for a little while, and then I kind of got into like the, you know, like the beaded, just all sorts of changes that come. Not only did the style change, my handwriting changed, and what I talked about changed. This is an excerpt from what was going on in my life. I thought today this would be appropriate. December 1993. For those of you who are always trying to peg really how old I am, you're just kind of like, whoa, okay. December, it finally snowed. Yeah. I was excited too. Lots of exclamation marks. This is pre-Christmas. I got some Christmas shopping done. This is awesome. I still find myself thinking about B all the time. I don't know what it is about him. I mean, I don't even really know him. I wish I would just stop or something would happen. I really all of a sudden love the Beatles. I don't know why that's in there. That's like seriously the transition. If you were looking through this, we talk a lot about B, that I, just in case anybody ever read it and like could figure out his name was Ben, some guy who I was bound and determined to marry, who I don't think I ever really ever had a conversation with. So this is, you know, high school. I learned a lot. I learned that sports were really important to me. There's a lot of accounts of the scores of every single volleyball game I ever played. Lots of fun things in here. One thing that changed, not just some of the content, but as I went through what I would write about would change, which is the content, and how I would write about it, I would change. And it's funny because some things changed drastically and some things didn't change at all in some respects. One thing that's really funny is, so this is my first one that I found, and there's an entry that says, I have got to be better at this. It's been two whole days. And that means like journaling regularly, right? So I somehow, if I missed a day, I was like, I'm failing. Whereas it took me 3 years to fill this puppy up. So my perspective changed on what journaling even was and what it looked like. As I go through these books, I see a change in how I talked to God. You know, it's interesting because as I went through them, I could see that perhaps there was a time where I had been disappointed by God, or my prayers became less specific in a lot of ways. They became more vague. And I wonder if it's because I had been disappointed. And I thought, I don't know if it's worth praying specific prayers anymore. There's another time where I could tell that I really thought in order for a prayer to count, I had to like praise God and tell God all about God's self for at least a full page before I got to what I really wanted to talk about, which was another learning stage in prayer. And the thing that I learned as I was going through these books is that it's to not judge myself. And to realize, I think I was quick to look at those first journal entries and be like, oh my goodness, thank goodness I don't think like that anymore or pray like that anymore. But I think there's something to be said about the earlier prayers and the simpler prayers, the prayers when life was less confusing for me, the prayers when faith, in some respects, made more sense to me, the times when I was focused on what now seems like the little things, but at the time were really, really big things for me. I think sometimes we think a mark of spiritual maturity is to grow away from simple prayers. But I wonder sometimes if that's the truth. In fact, I think in some respects, Jesus points to us that the opposite might even be true. Listen to this account of Jesus and his disciples and some children in the book of Mark. It says this, "Now people were bringing little children to Jesus in order that Jesus might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it.' And he took them up, the children, in his little hands and laid his hands on them and blessed them." I wonder sometimes if Jesus is calling us back to the basics, into the simple parts of our prayer life. And for those of you who have never prayed before, this is good news because it's not hard. And for those of you who have been praying for a long time, this is good news too because it can remind us of who we are, truly the children of God. Richard Foster, in a great book on prayer, aptly titled Prayer, you should check it out, says that this most primary form of prayer is simply called simple prayer. And what that means is basically carrying on a conversation with God. It's telling God about your frustrations and your hopes and your confusions and your sports games and your crushes and the music you love. It's simply conversing with God as you go about your day. And simple prayer is one of the most common prayers we find in the Bible. Listen to this, some of these simple prayers. We find Moses. Now, Moses was the leader chosen to lead God's people out of slavery. You hear Moses complaining to God, saying, "Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of this people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them? Are they my responsibility?" Or listen to this, the great prophet Elisha retaliating against children who jeered him. He cursed them in the name of the Lord, and then two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 children. Now how about this one, Psalm 137, where the psalmist is delighting in the violent death of babies of his enemies. "Happy they shall be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock." But at the same time, we hear this prayer of Moses. Moses interceding before God on behalf of the stubborn and disobedient ones, saying, "God, please forgive their sin, and if you don't, just blot me out of the book of life." The same Elisha who cursed children prophesied and blessed a barren woman that she would give birth. And the heart of the psalmist who was crying out to God in this, how he says, I love your law. It's my meditation all day long. Now, we might quick to judge and think, whoa, these people are a little crazy. One time they're praying this, and another moment they're praying this. But isn't that us? All of us, when we go to prayer, we're at the same time altruistic and selfless and selfish. We're greedy and we're generous. We're kind and we're annoyed. The thing about it is, on this side of eternity, we'll never be able to full out separate the good from the bad. You're never going to get it all together before you come before God. And that's why it's important to go back to the basics. John Wooden was a basketball coach for the UCLA Bruins for 27 years. And he was one of the winningest coaches. He won 10 national championships in 12 years. He had an 88-game winning streak. He is renowned in the coaching in the basketball world. And every year, he would start the season the exact same way. Now think about it. This is the coach who is like feared and renowned. And you're thinking, if you're a freshman, this is it. I'm finally coming together to be before John Wooden and hear what he has to teach me about basketball. On the first day of practice, the first meeting every season, John Wooden would sit down in front of his players. He would take off his shoes and his socks, and he would teach them how to put on their socks and shoes. No preface, simply get to business. And he'd have them take their shoes and socks off. I'm not going to make you do it. And he would then go through with them and talk to them about the importance of putting on your socks in such a way that there weren't any bunches, that they were smooth, that they were comfortable. And then he'd do the same thing with the shoes. And he did this because he knew that putting on socks improperly led to blisters. And blisters led to pain. Pain led to sloppy play. And sloppy play led to injuries, which meant some of your players were sidelined. John Wood knew that it was the little things that made the big things happen. In a lot of respects, that is what simple prayer reminds us. Simple prayer might seem selfish at first, that it's all about us. But I believe that as we learn to talk to God as we go about our days, what we'll find is that we'll see that it's not so much that God is a part of our life, but that we are a part of God's life. All prayer is learning to cultivate a loving relationship with God. And it begins with simple conversation. So I encourage you this semester, we encourage you this semester, to begin to talk to God about your hurts, your fears, your frustrations, your joys, your gratitude. And as we do that together, I believe that we will learn what it means to become of the people of God, the praying people of God, the loved people by God. Let's pray. God, may you continue to draw us back to the basics of knowing that we're loved by you, that you've called us to be in relationship to you. Stir in us, Holy Spirit, a desire to prayer and a desire to share our lives with you, the lives that you have given to us. Thanks for this day. God, I pray for everyone here, myself included, that you will open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to see you working in our lives this day. And we pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.